Well, let's come in our Bibles this morning to the book of Colossians and chapter 4, please. Colossians chapter 4. I want to thank your pastor very much for the opportunity to come here. Thank you for the kind welcome. And we do look to the Lord to bless our coming together here this morning. Colossians chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse number 7, please. Colossians chapter 4, reading from verse number 7. Of course, the Apostle Paul is the writer, and he's writing to the church at Colossae. Colossians chapter 4, and reading from verse number 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Anathemus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justus, who are all of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of Laodiceans, that they likewise may read that ye likewise may read the epistle from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which I have received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And we do trust the Lord will bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired words in our hearts this morning. There's no doubt over this past number of years, sales of newspapers have declined. We now have really the newspapers on our phones, on our tablets, whatever medium you happen to use. And so the written page, if you like, has become less and less popular. However, there are still many newspapers that are sold. And I'm sure there are various pages in a newspaper that are popular with some and perhaps not popular with others. Some people just like to read the headlines. Some people will go to the back pages to look at the sport. Some may even be inclined to go to the financial section and see how their money happens to be performing. I have a sister and she's obsessed with death. She just loves to read the death notices. We nickname her the Queen of Sorrow. That seems to be what she's interested in. Maybe you're the same this morning. I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure which page you go to. Perhaps it's the crosswords and Sudoku. There seems to be some pages that are more popular than others. I just actually checked this morning. I can't verify the information, but apparently one of the least popular pages is that which concerns the home and decorations, and I would say amen to that. Certainly not popular with me. And the letters page is supposed to be the least popular of all the pages in the newspaper. When it comes to the Word of God, I have no doubt we have our favourite portions of Scripture. I have no doubt perhaps you have your favourite verse. I again read this morning, and again this is one of these internet companies who have the Bible online, and according to them, the least popular book of the Bible is the book of Obadiah. I don't know whether that's true or not. Of course we know that every word is inspired. We know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. But I would dare to say that perhaps some of the least read portions of Scripture is that where we find lists of names. Sometimes we start out with the best will in the world in Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers. And when we sometimes get to books like 1st and 2nd Chronicles, we struggle. We struggle. Even reading through Paul's epistles, we're going so well, then we come to like the passage we've read this morning, and we have name after name after name, and perhaps they don't just grip us the way that other scriptures would grip our attention. Now, I have to confess, sometimes I'm a little bit like that. But I was in the study recently, And as I was reading through the book of Colossians, I came to this portion of Scripture. And the Lord started to speak to me through this portion of Scripture. I've never preached on it anywhere before. I've never preached in this passage. But I believe the Lord had something to say to me. And in turn, I believe the Lord has something to say to you this morning. And I believe if we skip out these verses, we can lose out so much. And of course, we know that every word of God is precious. My wife and I, we were at a wedding on Friday. I was conducting a wedding outside Rough Island. And one of the things that seems to be at every wedding now is the group photograph. And there was a little program, and we all had to meet at the hotel at 4:30 for the group photograph. And of course, the photographer will try and be funny and get everybody together. And you've always got those relatives who pretend they don't want to be in the photograph. And yet, if they weren't in the photograph, they would probably fall out with you. Now, you may not have relatives like that, but I have. And so we all get together for the group photograph. And I believe, in a way, Paul is coming to the end of this epistle, and here's a group photograph. I want you to imagine this morning you're looking at this group photograph. And these are people that helped Paul. These are people that were with Paul, who proved to be a great support to Paul. And I would wonder this morning, if we were having a group photograph, would you be in the picture this morning? Would you be in the picture or out of the picture? Would you be included in a list of names of those who are faithful and helpful and really praying for the work of the Lord? Really interested in serving the Lord? Because these are people that helped the Apostle Paul. And when Paul comes to the end, here's the group picture. And I want you to look at this group photograph this morning. Let me mention some important points, first of all, this morning, just as we talk about it generally for a few moments. You know, Paul was famous. Indeed, Paul today is world famous. Many of the names in this list really are not known outside of perhaps people who know and love the Lord. Perhaps even among God's people, some of these names are strange, they're not knowing. And Paul is the world famous one this morning. But if Paul didn't have these people, Paul wouldn't have been the man that Paul happened to be. And I hope as we read this list, we get an appreciation of those who put their hand to the plow, those who help in the work of the Lord. Paul, writing in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 1, says, we then as workers together. Paul says, I have planted and Apollos watered. Paul realized he couldn't do it on his own. Paul needed others to help him. Paul realized this wasn't a one-man band. It wasn't certainly a one-man ministry. Moses discovered that. Remember when Amalek came and fought with Israel in Exodus chapter 17, and Joshua and the men go to fight, and Moses goes up the mountain, and Moses has to hold his arms up, and as he's praying, they're victorious, and when the arms start to get weak, then they begin to lose the battle, and of course Aaron and Hur stand there with him and hold up his arms. Moses realized he needed others in the work of the Lord. And if we get nothing else this morning out of the message, may the Lord write upon our hearts the importance of others this morning. This also reminds us, this list, that God is aware of those who help. Sometimes we're not aware. There's so much goes on in the background. So many people are serving the Lord faithfully, and yet it's not noticed. But God notices those who faithfully serve Him. This list reminds us that God is a God of variety. Different nationalities, different ages, different places in life, different social statuses. We have a doctor in this list and we have a runaway slave. And yet they come together in this group photograph. What a special photograph it happened to be. It reminds us this morning, no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what your background, God has something for you to do this morning. God can use you this morning. This list reminds us that God uses ordinary people. With the exception of Paul and Dr. Luke, Most of these people, it would appear, had no special qualifications. John MacArthur, writing about one of the men on this list, says we don't find he had any credentials. We don't find he had any doctor's degrees, that he had any seminary training. He had no particular heritage. He had no great sermons that he preached. We don't know anything he ever said. I'm sure he wasn't mute, but we don't have a word that this man ever said. And yet here he is in the list. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things for him. Yes, if we get nothing else out of this morning. And Paul's epistles, he names over 100 people that helped him in his ministry. It's a lesson to us this morning to appreciate others and to realize how much we need each other. You see some important points this morning. But I want to inspect the portrait this morning. I just want to take a few moments, and I'm only going to speak briefly on some of the characters, because I want to get to something at the end where the Lord challenged my heart. And I'm asking the question this morning, are you in the picture this morning? If we were having a group photograph of those who serve the Lord here in Belize, would you be in the picture or out of the picture? Because here's Paul's group photograph this morning. The first man mentioned in verse number 7 is a man called Tychicus. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you. This man is mentioned 5 times in Scripture and always briefly. First mention is in Acts 20 verse number 7. He was with Paul in Ephesus. Paul is leaving Ephesus. He's making the journey over to Jerusalem. It was an arduous journey. It was a difficult journey. It was a long journey. But Tychicus was with him every mile of the journey. And here Tychicus is with him in Rome. Remember, Paul's in Rome in prison. That's where he writes this little epistle from. And Tychicus is still with him. This is what Paul says moving forward in Titus 3 verse 2. When I shall send Artemis to thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Paul wanted Titus to come and visit him. And in order for the church to be looked after, he says, I may well send Tychicus. He was going to send him, as you like, as a pastor to the church, so that Titus could come to him. See how this man is growing? See how he's developed? You know, in 2 Timothy 4 verse 2, Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Again, Paul wanted Timothy to come to him, and so he sends Tychicus to look after the church in Ephesus. See the sort of a character that was. Now, back in Colossians 4 verse 7, here in this case, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you. He was just being a messenger. He was just going to the believers in Colossae, traveling for Rome, and he was just taking the message how Paul was doing. He would take with him this letter to the church at Colossians. He would take a letter to Philemon. He would take the letter to Philippians and the letter to Ephesians. He was just a messenger boy. Verse 8, whom I sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. He's bringing a message of comfort to the believers in Colossae. Some 4 years have passed from the trip to Jerusalem. And he's still with him. And he's still with him every step of the way. And I just have one word for him. I have just the word, however. However. However I can help, I'm willing to help. Paul, if you want me to be a messenger boy, I'll be a messenger boy. Paul, if you want me to go and to pastor the church and look after it, that's what I'll do. He was humble enough to do the little tasks. And he had grown spiritually enough to take on some of these other roles to lead the believers in different areas. You know, when Luke was writing Acts of the Apostles, he begins to talk about the Lord. And he talks about the Lord, the things that he began to do and to teach. Many people want to teach, but don't want to do. And if we're not willing to do, then we can't really teach. Tychicus wasn't like that. He was willing to do whatever Paul wanted him to do. And now the Lord had taken him on and taken him on. And now he was a man that could be used even to look after the church. Look what Paul says about him in verse 7 and 8. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and my and fellow servant in the Lord. Wouldn't it be wonderful for Paul to say a beloved brother? Wouldn't it be wonderful for Paul to say a faithful minister or a faithful servant? Whatever Paul wanted to do in the will of the Lord, this man was willing to do it. And in case you think Paul is lording over him, Paul says he's just a fellow servant in the Lord. Together we're just servants in the Lord. Paul was no big shot. Paul realized he was just a bond slave to the Lord. But I have just that one word. However. Now, would you be in the picture if you could get to the front of the picture? You see, you're not willing to stand at the back of the picture. You're not willing to do those things that need to be done. There's no notoriety. There's no recognition. There's no applause. It's never mentioned in the prayer meeting. And you would be in the picture if you could be front and center of the picture. Tychicus says, however you want me to help you, I'm willing to help you. Now let's move on quickly. Look at Colossians 4 verse 9. There's two men I'm going to take together here this morning. And I've put the word never beside these two men. Look at the first one in verse 9. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. What a man to have in the picture. You will know a little bit about Philemon. Philemon was a member in the church at Colossae. He seemed to be a wealthy man. He had slaves. I'm not going into slavery this morning, but that was the common practice in those days. And Paul sends Philemon a letter about this man called Onesimus. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was unto thee unprofitable, but now is profitable unto thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels. Here's a runaway slave. It's possible that he also had stolen something. Because Paul says in Philemon 1:18, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that to mine account. A wonderful picture of the gospel. Paul says if he has stolen something, I'll sort it out when I get there. Here's a thief, a runaway slave, a man whose picture was on a wanted poster. Now here he is standing in the group photograph with the Apostle Paul. Isn't it amazing what grace can do? You see, he had gone to Rome, he had ended up in prison, and he got saved by the grace of God. And Paul seems to have got close to him. And Paul wanted to encourage him. And Paul's sending him back to Philemon to put the wrongs right. Who would ever have thought that this man would ever have been in the photograph? Are you saved this morning? We had a young man testify just a few weeks ago. And how the Lord reached into his life. And how the Lord has changed that young man. What a difference in him. What a difference. What a difference the Lord could make in your life this morning. And this morning you're out of the picture because you're not saved. And whoever would have thought that Onesimus would be in the picture? Whoever would have thought that someone like Onesimus would be in this picture? Now look at Colossians 4 verse 10. We find another character. And I put never beside him as well. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, verse 10. And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas. This Marcus is John Mark, the writer of Mark's Gospel. I think, again, you'll know something of the background of John Mark. He was the son of Mary, Acts 12, verse 12. And when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. He was a relative of Barnabas. You remember Barnabas and Saul in their first missionary journey took with them John, Mark, Acts 12 verse 25. But you know, it didn't work out too well for John Mark. Acts 13 verse 13. And when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia. And John departed from them and returned to Jerusalem. When the going got tough, John Mark turned his back on the work of God. turned his back on the men of God. And he headed back home to Mama. And you know what happened when Paul and Barnabas returned from the missionary journey. When Paul wanted to head out again, he wouldn't take John Mark with him. And Barnabas and Paul fell out because of it. And there was a sharp contention between both of them. John Mark had got away. John Mark had turned his back on the Lord. Turned his back on the work of the Lord. And for that period, John Mark was certainly out of the picture. But you know, I'm sure Barnabas was a real help to him. He was an encourager. It would seem from 1 Peter 5 verse 13 that it was Peter that led John Mark to the Lord. And who would know anything more about backsliding than Peter? And I'm sure Peter was a help to him. Do you know someone who's backslidden this morning? Have you abandoned them? Have you given up hope? Have you written them off? Would you put beside them, never? And here's John Mark, and he's back in the picture. He's back serving the Lord. He's back with Paul. And Paul is being blessed from him. At the end of Paul's life, in 2 Timothy 4, verse 11, he says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable unto me. And yes, Mark slipped, he fell, he got away from the Lord. He got away from the work of the Lord. Whatever it was that turned him away from the work of the Lord. But here he is back. And he's back in the picture. Are you backslidden this morning? Do you think you'd never be able to get back into the picture? You know, the Lord can turn things around for you. I wonder, is an assembly. Because Paul asks them to receive John Mark. He wants them to receive Onesimus. Wonder would we be happy to receive him? You see, our God's the God of the second chance, isn't he? You remember what happened with Jonah. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Jonah 3 verses 1 to 3. Wouldn't it be awful if the Lord had have written Jonah off? Wouldn't it be awful if the Lord had have written John Mark off as well? But he didn't. Here's two men and they're in the picture. Whoever would have thought of it? A runaway slave who was a thief. Now he's helping the Apostle Paul. And Paul calls him a beloved brother over in Philemon. John Mark, who caused a row between Paul and Barnabas. But you know, Paul didn't hold a grudge. Paul had a forgiving spirit. And now here's John Mark and he's back in the picture. Have you been out of the picture for a while? See how the Lord began to speak to me? You know, over in Colossians 4 verse 10 again, we meet another man this time, and I need to move on quickly. Colossians 4 verse 10, he's called Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. What do we know about Aristarchus? Well, we know in Acts 19 he was with Paul when there was a riot in Ephesus. And the whole city, Acts 19 verse 29, was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, we discover he traveled with Paul then to Jerusalem. We discover he not only went with Paul to Jerusalem, we discover he's with Paul on the ship. Do you remember the ship that was shipwrecked as they're taking Paul to Rome? Acts 27 verse 2, and entering into a ship of Adarithim, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And now here he is in prison with Paul. And most commentators believe he wasn't a prisoner. He just voluntarily stayed with Paul. He was with Paul when there was a riot. He was with Paul when he was shipwrecked. And now he's with Paul in prison. You see, I wonder, as I think about him, I just write the word wherever. Wherever. Wherever the Lord wants me. Whether it's a riot, whether it's a shipwreck, whether it's in prison, wherever, I'm there. Would you be in the picture this morning if you could be promised an easy ride? I have to say, probably the first riot would have done me. That probably could have been enough for me. I could have said, this man Paul's too dangerous to be with. But Aristarchus was a better man than me. And he's a man that stayed with Paul wherever Paul would go, wherever the Lord wanted him, then he was going to be there. You see, Tychicus, we write the word however. You see, John Mark and Onesimus, we write the word never. Aristarchus, we write the word wherever. There's another man mentioned here. He's called Jesus Justus. Again, this was a Jew who'd been saved. It seems that he had been saved when Paul was preaching the gospel in Rome. And for a Jew to be saved and to identify with Paul, it was going to cost him something. And I just put a little word beside him, whatever. Whatever it costs. Would you be in the picture if we could arrange it for a time that suits you? Would you be in the picture as long as we don't have it after the Lord's table because it's too much to stay for the Lord's table? Don't have it after the midweek because I'm too busy to get out for the midweek. If you can pick a time that suits me, I'll be there for the picture. Didn't matter what it cost this man called Jesus Justus. He was willing to stand with Paul. No doubt family would disown him. No doubt friends would want nothing to do with him. And yet here he is willing to be in the picture with the Apostle Paul. Now I need to move on. You see Tychicus, however, you see Onesimus and John Mark, never. You see Aristarchus, wherever. You see Jesus, Justice, whatever. Well, I could talk about Epaphras. With Epaphras, I was going to say whenever. Because he was a man, again, who actually was concerned about false teaching in Colossae, and that's why he traveled to Rome, and he brings the report to Rome, and it's because of him that Paul is sending the letter. And he's a faithful man of prayer, and I haven't time to go into him this morning because there's two other characters, or a character in a place that I want to get to this morning very quickly. You see some important points. You see inspecting the portrait. But I want you to see something else here, and this is where the Lord challenged me. Look at verse 14. Look who's in the picture here. Luke, the beloved physician. Now, I'm not going to mention Luke. If I was mentioning Luke, I'd just put the word clever. Here's a doctor who could have a lucrative career. But he gives that all up when he's spending time with Paul, serving the Lord. And, of course, the Lord's no man's debtor. You know, if Luke had have continued his medical practice, we wouldn't know who Luke is. And now we have two books in the Bible because of Luke. I just put the word clever. He was a clever man. He was a man who could have made a lot of money, no doubt, in those days. But he set that aside. He wanted to serve the Lord. He believed in seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But here's two I want to get to, a man and a church. I've called it an infamous prospect. Look at verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea. And here Paul mentions Demas, and Demas is here and he's in the picture. Do you ever look through some old wedding photographs? I can go to my wedding photograph and I can look at the family photograph. And I can look at a brother-in-law. He's no longer there. Because he walked out in my sister. There was a time he was in the picture. He's not in the picture anymore. And here's Demas, and he's in this group photograph here. Verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. He's mentioned again in the letter to Philemon, verse 24. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. There he's called a fellow laborer. But I think most of you will know a little bit about Demas. When we move forward to 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, this is what it says. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And dear brethren and sisters this morning, you could very much be in the picture this morning. But if you become complacent, if you start to take it for granted, and all of a sudden your prayer times become less and less. Your reading the Word of God doesn't seem to be as important as it used to be. The company you keep's not what it used to be. Your attendance at church drops off a little bit, and then it drops off a big bit. And from being there in the picture, all of a sudden you move out of the picture. Because that's what happened to Demas. John Bunyan believes that Demas could see Paul in prison. He could look around Rome and he could see the affluence and the money and the wealth and the riches. And he was caught by it. And it seemed to get into his heart. And it seemed to get more and more into his heart till it took over his life. And he loved this present world and he turned his back on the Lord and turned his back on the work of God and turned his back on this man of God. And Paul says, Demas hath forsaken me. Are you in the picture this morning? Don't take it for granted. And you see, there's not only Demas mentioned here. Here's a church called Laodicea. And Paul says, read this letter in Laodicea and the letter that I have sent them. You get it read as well. We don't know what that letter is. There's no point in speculating this morning. But I think you'll know a little bit about Laodicea. Let's move forward into the book of Revelation chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true, witness the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works are neither cold nor hot. I were that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Not a pretty picture. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And then the Lord says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. The Lord's not even in the place. And when Paul was writing to them, no doubt when Paul sent this message, the Lord was there and the Lord was blessing. And now the Lord's in the car park. And the Lord says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, even just one, in this church in Laodicea would let me in. But you know, they weren't cold, they weren't hot, they were lukewarm. And they made the Lord sick. Sick. He says, I'm going to spew you out. Here's a man, Demas, and he's in the picture. And very shortly he's going to be out of the picture. Here's a church that was faithful, sound, biblical, preached the gospel, believed this book from Genesis to Revelation, if I can bring it into the 21st century. Little bit by little bit, they let it go and let it go and let it go. And now the Lord says, you make me sick. You make me sick. Could it happen to me? Well, Paul says, let no man thinketh he standeth. We need to take heed. Let no man thinketh he standeth lest he fall. Yes, it could happen to me. Could it happen with Freiland Baptist? Yes, it could. Could it happen to Lee? Yes, it could. They were in the picture. When you get the revelation, they're out of the picture. The Lord says, you make me sick. I wonder what happened in Laodicea. You remember Paul says, I want you to read this letter. This letter that speaks about Christ as the creator. Colossians 1 verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. He's the great creator. And yet Paul says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the one who was the great creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, can come and dwell in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The one who is the head of the church. Colossians 1 verse 18. The one who made peace through the blood of his cross. Colossians 1 verse 20. The one who spoiled principalities and powers, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Colossians 2 verse 15. The one who has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. That one. That's what Colossians is all about. And Paul says in Colossians, in all things, he should have the preeminence. And now he's in the car park. doesn't even get in through the door. The one who made peace through the blood of his cross. How could you ever get to the cross and become lukewarm? How could you ever think of the cross and lose that zeal and love for the Savior? I wonder, was Christ pushed out at Laodicea? I have a funny feeling this letter was set to the one side. They maybe got something better. Something more with it. Something more popular. And now they're out of the picture. This is how the Lord spoke to me. In these few verses that I've never preached on before. See the important points, how we need each other. You see, as we inspect the portrait, we find some different characters there. Some you'd never expect to find in the picture. I'll tell you, the Lord can use you this morning. But then we have the infamous prospect. Whoever would have thought when they took that picture, I'm using my imagination, there was Demas. Maybe he was standing beside Paul. Now Demas is in the world. Who would ever have thought when that letter was delivered to the church at Laodicea? I would say they were excited when they got it. I would think the Sunday morning that the secretary got up and read out that letter, I have no doubt they were thrilled that Paul was thinking about them and Paul wanted to encourage them. And this letter was all about Christ. And Paul was saying, ye are complete in him. In whom dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There's so much in this little book that's so rich and such a blessing. I'm sure their hearts were thrilled. I wonder, was it put on the shelf? Because somebody came along with something better. Something newer. Something more with it. And now Laodicea have gone cold. Let me finish off verse 17. I've called it an incentive to progress. Here's a man, Archippus, and he is believed to be the son of Philemon. And quite possibly he may have been the pastor as well. He was certainly given a ministry from the Lord. Colossians 4 verse 17, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And here he's mentioned. And I'm sure as his name is mentioned, his heart missed a beat. And I'm sure as he listened to the names, what a challenge to this man. All these people who were faithfully serving the Lord. What a comfort to him. Knowing that people were praying for him and were concerned for him. What a concern. When he would look back and remember Demas. And Laodicea. But here's the crux. You see verse 17. See what Paul said? He said two things. He said, take heed. And he said, fulfill it. That word fulfill it means to basically finish the job. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said this, finish the job. The test of a man's character is what it takes to stop him. Is what it takes to stop him. And Paul says to this young man, who had got a ministry from the Lord, fulfill it. See it through. Don't be like Demas this morning. Don't quit. And Paul says to this young man, take heed. Take heed. And surely that's what the Lord's saying to us this morning. Take heed. Are you in the picture this morning? It's time you were. Are you a backslider this morning? It's time you were back in the picture. What if the Lord comes back? Are you going to be ashamed that he's coming? It's time to get into the picture. Are you in the picture this morning? Take heed. Let no man thinketh he standeth, lest he fall. Keep close to the Savior. Stay close to the Master. Let there be nothing between you and the Lord, only blue skies. And enjoy your walk with the Lord and go on with him. You know, Paul could tell any of us to finish because Paul kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. And if you don't take it from me this morning because I'm not finished yet, take it from Paul. Paul finished it. And he saw it through. I've seen so many start off with such a zeal, only to turn out to be a damp squib. Finish the course.